Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl.
Sharalcia. Jesus died this morning in a nameless alleyway hunched between an ex-jailbird and a homeless girl. I saw him last night, tickling the feet of Fa'afa Fine with his bearded kisses. I heard him last night, laughing with hardened Magdalenas over plastic cups of street brew. I felt him last night, lick sanction across the punctured creases of my inner elbows. You missed him. The second coming has come and gone. You were too preoccupied scouring penthouse suites in Trump hotels, singing psalms to molesting podiums, tasting bleach from make-it-rain teeth and stroking feathers of corrupt wings. Did you not learn from his first visitation that he would come as one of the wandering and uncrowned? Did you not learn from his first stopover that sinner and saviour walked shoeless side by side along bleeding crossroads? Jesus died this morning in a nameless alleyway beneath your feet while your nose pointed to the skies.
It's Pacifica Month in Tamaki Makaurau, a whole month celebrating Pacific peoples and culture, culminating with Pacifica Festival near the end of the month. With me in the studio today are two poets of Pacific identity, Ria Masai, who you heard read her poem in our introduction, and Doug Paul. Talofa, Ria and Doug.
Talofa.
Welcome to Books and Beyond. So, Pacifica Month. I love this month. I always get excited about it. So my Pacific identity really comes out from within. And so I was wondering, what do Pacific poets do for Pacifica Month in Auckland? Anything planned?
Well, we're putting on an event, Stars of Pacifica Poetry, at the Te Aritu Peninsula Library. And I guess what does a poet of Polynesian descent do during that month is enjoy the month, go along to as many things as we can and celebrate our identity. Ria? Mm.
Yeah, Stars of Pacifica Poetry. I actually work at Te Aritu Peninsula Library, so I'm really stoked because this was previously only been in Central Auckland, Central Library, so it's the first time we're bringing it out west, out to Te Aritu, so I'm really stoked about that. So, yeah.
And well
being
done.
Involved in that.
Yeah.
Like, with some big names out there, that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited too. You've brought in the poster, and wow, what a lineup. We've got Albert Wendt, we've got Moa Strixon-Pua, Grace Taylor, Darren Kamali, there you are, Doug, in the poster, your picture, and Ria, and Johnny Angel, the Samoan Elvis, will be hosting and performing.
He's going to be performing as well.
It's going to be a great night.
Yeah.
So that's on Thursday the 7th of March, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Te Aritu Peninsula Library. Can't wait. My home library. Mm. I'm so excited. So how did this come about then? Because I believe that Stars of Pacifica, like you said, Ria, was originally in Central Auckland at Central Library and Small World. So my co-host on Books and Beyond, Karen, was actually involved in those early days, wasn't she, Doug?
Correct. Yeah, Karen was the founder. I was very, very privileged to be asked to perform, I think, in 2012 by Leitu, who was working at the library with Karen, and I've been involved ever since. But, yeah, Karen and Craig did an amazing job of pulling this event together. It was in the on the second floor, and it was just an amazing event that really celebrated our identities and our voices and put more of a focus on the collection in the library too, so they would display the books by a lot of the poets that were involved in those early days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good on you, Karen. Thank you. So, because I guess with poetry and our Pacific, roots and oral tradition, we're very oral people. We didn't I didn't grow up with books, that's for sure, in the house, because everything was passed on to us in an oral way. So I guess poetry and Pacific identity, there is that that synergy then, is there, Doug? Is there a lot of poets coming through, Pacific poets, who also feel the same, that they're drawn sure. to this art form?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think when I first met Selena Tusitala-Marsh and Sri Barford and Carlo Mila, I was quite enamoured of them, actually, because I'd read their books and I sort of knew who they were. And to get to know them and find that we all have that similar experience of growing up, I guess for me, growing up being very outwardly looking at Palangi, but inside I'm very much a Samoan person. And I think that's an experience that a lot of us have, so that really comes through in our work. And we challenge the stereotypes that are out there of our people, and we celebrate and share the language and our culture through our voices. And Rhea is an absolutely stunning poet. And Rhea, experiences?
I work with a lot of spoken word poets like Daisy Speaks, Marina Alefosia, Grace Taylor, and I think a common thing, like especially with us Pacific people, is when we perform, you know, there's always mention of carrying our ancestors with us. And I think that relates to, you know, like our oratory, like traditions and things like that. And yeah, I think, well, Samoans alone, no, all Pacific Islanders were naturally performers, were natural performers anyway.
We are.
Like dance, singing, and when you actually listen to the orators, a lot of their language is like, because with Samoan language, it's actually like there's the informal and there's the formal ones that the chief and the orator chiefs talk. And I don't understand a lot of the orators, you know, like the chiefs talk, because it's just so, like, old school. But when you do get to translate it, I sometimes get my dad to translate it for me, it's so poetic. It's amazing what they talk about. You know, like, they bring, like, the environment, you know, the manus, the birds and the trees that surround them into it. And it's so beautiful. So they're poets.
They're actually...
They are, yeah. And that's probably because they use a lot of metaphors and things like that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't understand it, because I don't understand a lot of the metaphors and proverbs.
Yeah,
the references. Yeah.
Wow.
But when you actually, when I get my dad to translate some of it for me, that's beautiful. It's actually true poetry, and it's like Pacific poetry.
Yeah, so it's just in our blood. It's in our DNA, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
And our upbringing.
Yeah, hey. I agree. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, well, I always say, I think I've said it on the show before, that I've never heard my father tell the same story twice. He's so good at storytelling.
Yeah, my dad's the same, yeah.
Which I did not inherit from him, but unfortunately, but I'm always in awe of it, you know, as I've, over the years, I haven't heard this version of the story before.
Yeah.
Who is the audience? Who is he speaking to?
Yeah.
And what is... What is the point of telling the story today?
And my grandmother was a fantastic storyteller, and I spent most of my youth with her in the school holidays, and that's how she would put me to sleep, is tell me a different story every night about Samoa, about my father being a child.
Yeah.
And my father's a great storyteller as well, and I think that's where I've inherited my poetry through. And a lot of my poetry is based on those early experiences, or comes from those early experiences of being around my grandmother.
Wow.
And I think that's a very Polynesian way.
Yes. Thank you, Grandma. Thank you, our Polynesian genes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Or Pacific genes. So for someone who has never been to a poetry evening, what can they expect at Stars of Pacific Poetry? For example, if I was to invite some of my friends and family who haven't come but live in Te Atato or around in the area and want to come and join in the celebrations, what could they expect on the night?
Variety, I think, because we're also, even though, you know, we're all Pacific, we're also different in what we speak about, in our style, in our, in the structure of our poems and things like that. So, yeah, I think a variety of, which is really good. I'm happy about that because, you know, it doesn't lump Pacifica into this one kind of theme
or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like we're all so different, and I love that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, we've even got Elvis coming too, haven't we?
We've got Elvis.
He's the star.
Yeah. It's going to be fantastic. You've got Maolabal Albert Wendt, who's our leading light. He's a superstar. And he's a genius. He's an absolutely genius writer. He's a genius novelist and poet. So having him at this event every year has been absolutely life-changing for me. I just look up to him so much. And then you've got great contemporary voices like Rhea, like Grace, Simone. Cere, Darren Kamali with his beautiful, powerful poetry. And he incorporates the Fijian language, which is just absolutely beautiful. You can expect a very high standard of poetry, a very entertaining night, and a diverse range of voices and topics.
Wonderful.
So I encourage you to bring all your friends and family. You'll
great. I will. And we don't have far to go. I'm locals.
No, you've got no excuse.
And there's free parking. And food. There's going to be food. Ticks all the Pacific boxes. Yeah, and draw cards.
Yeah, my wonderful partner Penny's making our family recipe of supper suey. So,
Penny's been awesome.
Yeah.
Throughout this
she's
journey.
She's been an integral part of organising this as well.
Behind the scenes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
It wouldn't work without...
Yeah. And look, we're going to have some of Penny's work. Penny Howard's represented by White Space Gallery, and we're really lucky to have some of her portraits that were exhibited this year. We're going to have Selena Tusitala Marsh's portrait and Sia Figal's portrait.
Fantastic. Yeah. So not only a night of poetry, but art. And it's a three-in-one evening, four-in-one.
And Elvis.
And Elvis. But yeah, I was just going to say with entertainment. That's wonderful. So, Doug, how about a poem from you?
Sure.
If you don't mind, just to give us a little taste of the evening and...
Sure, this is Pulsala in Nonosina 3. There is a gecko in our room. It watches us every night. So I cover my underpants with my I love a lava, cause you never know, it could be a relative or someone we don't know. Nonosina says, it's good luck to have her. I think to myself, it looks like a boy, cause he just stays there all night, hiding from the flying fox who hangs upside down outside our window. On the underside of a breadfruit leaf is a white tree snail listening to the flying fox, dream, memorising the genealogy escaping a sleep talk. But Ngongosina says, it's just the breeze coming in through the window. The chickens sleep too. I wonder if they know we are leaving next week.
Oh, thank you. What inspired that poem?
That's when I went to Apia with my grandmother at 8 years old. We were in the front room of the Palangi house. We weren't in the whale because Nana was a high-titled woman and very much adored by her family. And so we were in the Palangi house. It was very hot up there, obviously, and I couldn't sleep. And we had a gecko that stayed in the room with us the whole time, the whole 2 weeks we were there. And, so it's really, really personal poem. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing it. There's something about going to the islands as a child and that gecko. Every room has a gecko, right? And it becomes your friend.
I love them. Very They're much. So cute. My mother can't stand them. She grew up with them, but I think they're adorable.
So do I. You just lie in the bed staring at the wall, fascinated by them, It passes the time away nicely because, we didn't have television when my first visit to Rarotonga back then. So I was thinking, though, do you go back to the islands much and, thinking about your creativity when you're here in New Zealand versus your creativity when you're visiting the islands, or have either of you ever lived in back home?
Oh, I haven't been there since I was pregnant with my first child in 2000. So I think I was there... Yeah, as soon as I had children, my travel days were all over. but I lived there for 2 years before that. Yeah, so that was a really good experience to get back to my roots. And I was really surprised how fast the language came back to me, but then how fast it left me again when I came back to New Zealand. It really showed how much you have to, really practice the language, which I often forget. I'm terrible at that because, English is all around me here and I often forget to speak it to my children. So, yeah, I got to work on that. But with creativity, I've written a couple of poems about Samoa, actually. I don't know. It's a different feel when I write about Samoa than when I write about things that, you know, I observe in New Zealand. For some reason, it seems more spiritual, or I don't know if it's because it always, like, I always think of, like, my late grandparents and that, and they were quite spiritual people, and, you know, like, real, you know, worked the land and things like that. So I, for some reason, my voice automatically goes into this kind of humble and, you know, like, but sacred voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it's different. Yeah. Whereas in New Zealand, I'll write something about the homeless and things like that, and it's a totally different voice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my creativity kind of, like, between Samoa and New Zealand kind of flips like that, which is okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a cool thing to observe.
To have those two voices coming out, you know, so in a performance we'll see how many Rias will we see.
Well, since it's Pacifica, probably just the one.
And what about you, Doug? Do you feel artist?
I have a quite a complicated relationship with Samoa because it was deeply rooted within my grandmother, and so I went back to Samoa as a child and really enjoyed that, and it stayed with me my whole life. I've not been back since. I was going to go back with Nana again while she was not too frail, and we'd sort of tried to plan that, but I was very young then. I think I was doing my apprenticeship, and it just never happened. And I've never felt the pull to go back because my identity is deeply rooted within my relationship with my grandmother, and my identity comes from that experience. I don't feel it comes from being in Samoa. For me, it's so deep inside my body, and it comes out of my work, but also my research behind my work. So I'm exploring the Aalborg family, and that journey's been marvellous. Just recently, I've found a Tony Blunt shared a poem of my grandmother's father, Henry Aalborg, on the plantation that he managed with the German company PG&DH, and I couldn't believe it. And there was my grandmother as a baby, there was Auntie Kake, there was Auntie Mariah, and peeking through the window was one of the boys, and we sort of thought, well, I wonder who that was. Was it Uncle Fred? You know, was it Uncle Richard? So it's really much, my Samoan identity is really rooted deeply within the Aalborg family and our experience.
Wow, that's a very special treasure that has been unearthed for the family. That's where was the photo found, by the way? Is it?
I think Tony Blunt's doing a book about another German family, and yes, I've written to Tony and thanked him for sharing that. And look, I think it was a collection of another family that had it.
Wow, maybe there's going to be some works by Doug Poole inspired by these.
Oh, definitely,
treasures.
Yeah, there's something percolating at the moment that hasn't come out yet.
Okay, so watch this space.
I'll be watching this space, I'm so interested now.
Now, Ria, I was reading that, I was at the Writers' Festival last year, but there was a slam poetry competition associated
yes,
with it.
The Going West Slam Poetry Competition.
Which you won.
Yeah, I won. It was kind of bittersweet because usually Doug organises and it was the first year he didn't organise it, so I was kind of like, well, I can't thank Doug this year. So, yeah.
But I can tell he's really proud of you.
Really proud.
I have amazing support for my creativity, so I'm blessed with that.
Yeah, I was, you know, the performance poetry, when you're standing on stage, you know, without any, there's all these rules around slam poetry competitions, isn't it? Mm. Well, you don't say competition, you say slam poetry, because that means it is a competition, right?
Yeah.
So there's all these rules around it, and I was reading through the rules recently, and I thought, wow, this is really, you're being creative and yourself on stage, but then you've got all these rules to sort of remember not to break, otherwise you're, you know, out of the competition. How do you prepare for a slam poetry event? Do you write something
nervously
special for it?
No, I'm actually a terrible procrastinator, and I get like, Yeah, so usually I'm indecisive, so usually a couple of days before the slam, I'm still trying to decide which poem to do. So I usually try and memorise about five, because then you've got to have three for a slam if you get through to the final round. Yeah, but I've gotten used to it now, luckily, but the reason I took up spoken, well, one of the reasons was to get over stage fright and try and, you know, get over, be better at public speaking. So, that part's not too bad now. But, it's still always nerve-wracking because you have to memorise. I hate that. That's why I'm so, Stars of the Pacifica Poetry Night is going to be, like, so relaxing and, because we can read, and I love that. Mm. And sometimes reading, it's more organic because, with slam, you're actually performing, so... Yeah, there is a difference. So,
yeah, I'm always I'm impressed. I go, wow, there's no notes. You know, perhaps there's an auto cue in the background because, some poems are quite long to memorise, I imagine. And
3 minutes is the normal.
3 minutes is poem. Yeah, but I've seen longer because I've been watching on YouTube, Doug, Pollination, which you produced.
Yes.
So it was a poetry evening and hosted in Brisbane, was it? How did
That's
that
right.
come about? Because you had an amazing lineup at that one too.
Yeah, I think we'd done New Voices. And I think we'd done a few things with Darren and Selena and Carlo and such like. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to do a show of Polynesian poets? And I'd been doing my e-journal, Blackmail Press, for a number of years. And I was fortunate enough to know Graham Nunn and a few other people that were involved with the Queensland Poetry Festival. And they said, well, I sort of floated the idea past a few of my peers and also past them. And they said, great, we'll send you a letter. We want you to come. So Tarisi Vunandilo at Crowd New Zealand worked with me to get the funding, and we got the funding. And we were directed by Tusiata Avea. She was our director and really helping us to train our bodies to perform and breathing and all this sort of thing, which is all new to me. So performance is not what I do. I like to write and read, but to do Pollination was a marvellous experience, and it was, I think it's now, looking at it now 10 years later, I think it was quite an historic thing we did. I'd like to think that it will inspire other younger generations of poets to get together and go and travel abroad and do a show of poetry, you know, just poetry.
And it was beautiful. I mean, I just so enjoy watching it. I'm hoping that we could have it again, perhaps in New Zealand.
We did do it in New Zealand. We did it.
You've done it in New Zealand?
We came back from Brisbane and we did it at the Going West.
Ah.
Murray Gray invited us there.
Yeah,
so
because
we did it
had what, up to six people on stage at once. It's all one of the.
At the very end, we all came on stage and did a stanza each of the last poem, Pollination.
Yeah.
We are Pollination.
We are. That was brilliant.
Nice.
It was very moving.
Yeah,
and
it was.
So you brought back Stars of Pacifica Poetry to Auckland. Perhaps we could have Pollination back in New Zealand.
I'd love to do. I'd love to do it with another group of poets and not actually be performing but seeing all these other young poets. I think what we did has been a progenitor for lots of other things that are going on and spoken word shows and Grace Taylor's solo show and... It's amazing what's out there now in the space in theatres. Grace Taylor's show is absolutely stunning, and there are others doing that as well, obviously. So, South Auckland Poets Collective, they were a wonderful group of young people.
Which I'm a member of.
Yes, Brenna's a member of.
I was just about to turn in your direction.
Sexy fans.
Yeah. And in fact, they have an exhibition on for Pacifica as well.
Yes, it's at Mangere Arts Centre. So it's there for a while. And also there's an upcoming show that they're doing, and Grace Taylor will be directing that. So we're really excited about that. I don't know if I can say the name of it yet. We just decided on a name yesterday. But I'll leave that to Grace.
Okay.
For promotion time.
I thought Books and Beyond might have had a scoop there, but okay.
I almost let it out.
Grace would be so proud of you. So do we have another poem before we finish for today? No? Okay.
Rhea's
grabbing her notebook. We read poems on Books and Beyond all the time, but we just read them.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, wow, all this talk about performance poetry. Perhaps I could give it a go.
That's going to be fun.
So I've got, I know you're supposed to read your own poetry, right? But so I have a relative's poem, okay? So Robert Hack is, like me, half Cook Island, and his mother has roots from Manahiki, the island where my father's from. So here's his book, Everything is Here, and I'm Going to Remember. Manahiki Remembers. And I read somewhere that, you know, you've got to perform from your gut and connect with your audience. So here we go. Manahiki Remembers. Leaving for the big smoke was your big idea. But everything is here. Sun, fish, everything. You can buy fish there, but here you were taught how to catch them. We dance any time, not just special time. We climb coconut trees, swim and dive for free. There's no flash gym. Kids play outside, not inside, with the pew-pew game. Here, the smell of gardenia and hinano, not car fumes, perfumes. You speak fast, your eyes move. You glance to your watch when I talk. Remember, Manahiki, Manahiki remembers you. How did I do?
Well, wow. Dang!
Oh, I love that poem.
Is there somebody needs her
I'm
own
gonna
spot.
I'm going to go look for that poem in the library and get it out. It's stunning.
I know, it
Robert,
is.
Rob Hack, yeah.
Rob Hack, yeah. He's based down in Paikokariki. So yeah, is there a spot on the poster for me?
I think we can fit you in somewhere.
Well, we do need, you know, help serving the food, I guess. Only joking.
I'm really good at cleaning up too. Well, I think
that was really well read.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I love how you were animated because your hand, well, the audience can't see, but your hands were moving and your eyes were rolling.
Yeah. I've never actually visited Manahiki, but actually that poem, I had that connection. I could see the photos and the videos I've seen.
Yeah.
Because this is the island that took my brother, you know, where a cyclone came through in 1997. So I'm a bit hesitant to visit. So when I first read that poem, I thought, I can do it. I can go one day. I can, you know, it's beautiful. Mm. It's really beautiful. So thank you for the encouragement, guys. So we'll... sadly, we've run out of time to hear another one of your poems because I hogged up the time. But so, Stars of Pacific Poetry next Thursday at Te Atu Library. And anything else for you, Robert? Just quickly. Doug.
Yep.
Coming up for you this year, or is it a?
This is going to be the highlight for me, for sure. So not really. Yeah, this will be my highlight for this year.
Yeah. Oh, we're looking forward to it. And you, Rhea, what are you up to? Any slam poetry planned or?
No, I think I'll give slam poetry competition. Yeah, slams are a miss this year. I want to concentrate on working on my own poetry collection for publication, which I should have done last year, but yeah. I kind of took a gap year without travelling overseas from study last year because I graduated the year before. So I think, yeah, that's going to be one of my creative priorities.
Wow, we look forward to that.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
And Auckland Libraries actually will look forward to it too. Another publication to add to our Pacific collection.
Oh, I'll make sure my books are there. It's funny, every time I see like friends who are creatives, their books there, I'm always like, display.
I had Siri Barford's book on display for a long time in Te Atatū Library. Yeah. Being a Te Atatū local, you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right, we should. Okay, so, well, I'm looking forward to the show next week and I'm so looking forward to Pacifica Month, the rest of the month. And thank you for coming in to guest, I guess, on Books and Beyond. Come in any time. Fa'a fitai, to fa, kia manuia.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The program was brought to you by Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch
catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/books and beyond. Every day, every day, every day.